pick up yourself a decent dynamic mic. And I say a dynamic mic instead of a condenser because the dynamic mic does a better job of rejecting background noise, whereas a condenser, it's designed to pick up every little detail and nuance of your voice in terms of podcasting.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's your host, Adam A. Adams. And it's kind of funny. Not too long ago, I flew in to a special place. It was my first time there, by the way. And then the plane lands and I get on a bus and there's one other guy on this giant freaking bus, like seriously, the biggest bus you could ever see, bigger than the public transit in your neighborhood. This is like a monster, monster bus. And there's just two of us. So I get to know this guy named Michael Jerry. Michael, how's it going?
Excellent, man. Glad to be a part of the show.
And I like how your sound quality is perfect because we're going to be talking a little bit about sound quality on this episode. So I meet this guy named Michael. Interestingly enough, we get to the actual event. So he and I got to connect even more there. And I finally said, well, even though you don't have a podcast, I'm going to have you on my show because we could talk about audio engineering. And I think your story about how you got into audio and engineering is interesting. So I'll let you tell a little bit about that, the story that you have already shared with me before. But I do want to mention, at least to the listener, that today we're going to be talking a little bit of terminology that many audio engineers know tons about. If you're one of them, you might not learn anything, and you might. But if you're like the layman, if you're like Adam Adams, I know nothing about audio engineering or compression or EQ or any of that stuff because my team handles it all for me. And so I've never learned. So most of my questions will be sincere. Like, I don't know the answer to this. I'm curious about this. And so if you also want to learn some of this, and especially if you're editing your own podcast, this is the episode for you. It's going to help you to be able to sound better. Michael's company is called MITI, Mighty, Mighty Productions. And well, Michael, why don't we just find out why it's called MITI? Capital M, I, capital T, and an I. You said your dad had a couple of generals that meant a lot to him or he respected. So let's go there. You named your company after it. It has to be important.
It's a name that was given to me, and it's two names combined into one. As you said, capital M, I, and then capital T, I. And I'll keep the names to myself. It's a little bit of an inside thing, but the actual thing that I love about it is that these men were great leaders. They were sincere and authentic. One was a little better about his morality about things, and the other one was just more human about his imperfections. But they were very good communicators, good leaders. And these are attributes and things that I try to make sure that I focus on, not just with my business, but with my life, the way I engage with people and talk to them, the way I help people. These are things that I want to do. So it was just a natural fit in terms of a name for the business that I want to run and operate. And I love it. I love it, man.
That's cool. Mighty Productions. Mighty Productions. Yeah. Well, with that said, would you mention that story about when you were about to start a podcast and how it led you to here?
Yeah, sure. I'll be happy to say that. So what happened was I was an Uber driver for a while and I got tired of driving for Uber and I thought I'm just going to start doing something else. But then this thought popped in my head of sharing people's stories, right? You're driving a car, you're meeting, I mean, my goodness, over the years that I've done that, I've met thousands of people all over the world. And so it seemed like just sort of a natural thing. Those conversations that I have in the car, let's just put it on the podcast. And so I recorded a few episodes and then when it came time to the actual production and the editing of the podcast, that's when I sort of ran into this brick wall. I had no idea of how to edit, what editing was. And so I started doing some research. And then that's when I came across Podcast Engineering School. And from there, that really helped me to hone in on what it is that I want to do, which really wasn't the front end of it, being the post. And I do enjoy the recording, but where I really live is on the back end, the post-production, the setting up, the equipment, all of that type of things, the processing of the audio. That's really where I live and enjoy this podcast industry that we're a part of.
So it led you to like going to a conference and then asking questions, and you decided in March of 2020,
right,
I'm going to have my own podcast. I'm going to launch a podcast. And I said that wrong. I'm going to do post-production for other people. I want to be on the back end. I want to help other people. So you learned a little bit of that audio engineering, the sound quality. So let's talk about some sound quality mistakes. Let's talk about some sound quality musts. And I do have a few questions that are already at the top of my mind that maybe we could start with before we go into the mistakes and like best practices.
Yeah.
So one of the main questions that I have is like, if you are doing editing and post-production and you hear like a phone ring or a pen drop or a chair is like really creaky or outside noise, maybe let's just say it's a bus or it's, speaking of buses, it's an ambulance or something. What is the best practice or the right approach? Should you be trying to take that sound out or leave it? And if you are taking the sound out, if that's the case, how do you do that?
Okay. All right. So let me just make one clear distinction before I answer that in terms of audio engineer and podcast engineer, because an audio engineer goes to school. That's a lot of money and a lot of time. I don't consider myself an audio engineer like in the music industry, but an engineer for podcasts, I think, is a little different in a term that I'm comfortable with. And I just wanted to make that one distinction. But in terms of background noises and chair squeaks and all types of things like that, the first thing I do, and this is what you and I were talking about at the conference that we were at Pod Movement. The first thing that I do is I look at the waveform. What is it telling me? What is it showing me? Specifically to answer the question though, yeah, those things, if they're not meant to be a part of the show, you want to remove those or attenuate them as best you can. Now, the ideal thing is to have an environment where those noises are muted or completely blocked out somehow, right? Like you've got the eggshells on the side there I can see in your studio. And so that's going to help block some of the background noises and especially those lower frequencies that could be coming in from outside of windows, right? The cars and the buses and things like that. So if you can get yourself in an environment where you put something over the window, whether it's the egg crates or a blanket, or find a place in your home or studio that's as quiet as can be with the least amount of reflections, meaning you don't want sound waves bouncing off of walls and floors. Have some carpet on the floor. That would be great too. Put some carpet on the floor and treat the room as best you can. That would be my first recommendation. And then the next recommendation is pick up yourself a decent dynamic mic. And I say a dynamic mic instead of a condenser because the dynamic mic does a better job of rejecting background noise, whereas a condenser, it's designed to pick up every little detail and nuance of your voice in terms of podcasting, right? They do pick up a lot of detail. So a dynamic mic is going to do a better job of rejecting background noises. For example, we talked about the AC that I have on in my home. You can't hear it right now. I'm using a dynamic mic, which is helping. And of course, not having the gain up too loud. But those would be the first two steps towards having great audio from that standpoint. But again, in terms of things that you can't control, like I've got a squeaky chair, we all have squeaky chairs, and just a cat or a dog or what have you. When it comes to removing those, I use a software called RX8, and it's just a phenomenal tool that I have for helping to remove those things. And sometimes, like I said, you may not be able to just completely remove it, but you can attenuate it.
Okay. So how do you get rid of them? So step one, treat the room. Step two, use a dynamic mic, not a condenser mic. Step three, if something gets through, then treat it. But how do we go about that? Like, what is the way of doing it? Do we cut out the whole sentence? Is there ways of going into our computer system or our software and like saying, hey, I want you to recognize something that sounds like this and get rid of it, but keep the rest? Is it recording on multiple tracks and just blocking out one track? What are kind of like the ways to bring that down so that it's not as loud or as bothersome as maybe it could be?
Yeah. One of the points you made, recording individually to a track is ideal. Each person should be on their own individual track. Next, the noise in terms of removing it, really, it's one of two ways. You're either going to cut it out of the audio with your DAW, your digital audio workstation that you're using, or you're going to use a tool like RX8, which is a software for both PC and Mac that processes audio. So what it does is, with all the different modules that it has, in some instances, just remove it for you. So you don't have to worry about cutting the audio or take a slice out of that sentence or what have you. And again, if it can't remove it, then it can help you in attenuating or really reducing the volume of what it is that you're trying to remove so that it's not as noticeable, right? That's the next best thing. So if you can't remove it completely, can you reduce it to a point where it's not a distraction from the conversation?
So this thing called RX8 is a piece of software that all podcasters should own. And when they hear an issue, instead of just editing in the normal place, they put it there first. I'm hoping that I'm hearing you right, but clarify if I'm not.
Sure. It's a tool, man, right? And it's made by Izotope, Izotope. And it is an expensive software if you get the whole shebang. But for someone whose business is this, it makes sense for me to invest in something like that, right? Because this is what I do. There are different stages at which you can enter into the software. I forget the different levels, but there's maybe like the standard that you can come in. It's an entry level, just sort of the bare bones type of things. And it's better than nothing.
Can you give us an idea of like what the pricings might be or similar? Is it like 50 and then 1,000 or?
Yeah, they have their entry level Elements suite. If you get it on sale right now, it's $30.
It's a one time 30 or 30 a month?
One time 30. It's not.
Oh, cool.
They do offer
How about the level that you have, like the top level? You said you got the top one?
Yeah, I've got the post production suite, and that's a couple $1,000, like $2,500.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. Well, we will definitely link to RX8 in our show notes. So if you're curious, the link's down there. Well, you could just scroll down right now and click on it and see if the entry level at $30 one time would make sense, the $2,000 or anything in between. So good stuff. So Michael, you can run it through there. And that will tend to be able to do kind of, it's almost like done for you. You just put it in, it'll get rid of some of those noises. You don't have to be an audio engineer to get some of that stuff done because the software can help a lot.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, so number one, treat the room. Number two, dynamic mic. Number three, RX8, that'll be in the show notes. Let's talk a little bit about compression and EQ and what you should be focusing on. If somebody's editing for the first or maybe second or third time, what does EQ mean? Where do you find EQ? Why does EQ matter? Same thing with compression, if you don't mind answering those two questions.
Sure, happy to. All right, so equalization, right, is merely a process of modifying the voice. Since we're talking about podcasts, I'm just going to talk about voice, right? So it's a process of, putting it in simple terms, adjusting, modifying what you hear in terms of the voice. So an EQ, for example, is when, let's say I get your audio. If I were to process this podcast, then I'm going to listen to your voice and I'm going to cut out certain frequencies that don't bring out the best qualities in your voice. Now, some people would like to add to the EQ, and I really don't think that's the best way to do it. It's an addition by subtraction. So if there are some high frequencies in your voice that really don't add to the clarity, I'm going to take those out. Or depending on sometimes the type of microphones that we use, there could be a little more bass than there needs to be, right? So we're going to cut some of that bass out to give you a more natural sounding tone. So it's really just sort of cutting the frequencies so that the person's voice sounds as clear and as natural as it can. Now, it's subjective, right? Because your voice sounding good to me may not sound exactly the same as someone with a different set of ears. They may hear you a little differently. So it's all subjective. The overall point is just to remove the frequencies that don't really bring out the best in your voice.
Okay, so here we are using the EQ to take away some unwanted, undesirable frequencies.
Yes.
And it's addition by subtraction.
Yes.
So some people might add a frequency, you take away the opposite frequency that you don't want to hear as much, correct, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like, does that take a whole bunch of time to edit out like the frequencies? And like, is there a way, a second question is, if it does take a long time, is there like an automatic setting? So it's like you're editing my voice with this mic that I'm using now, and I'm leaving all of my other settings practically the same. So then every time you edit my podcast, do you just be like, here's Adam Adams settings. So I'm just going to click the button that goes to Adam Adams settings. It automatically gets rid of what I didn't want on past recordings to make it easy. Or is it that you have to do it every single time? Because I highly doubt that you could just like have a setting for any man's voice or any woman's voice. You would almost probably have to do this individually, but I'm hoping that you'll say, you can just kind of get a setting for your voice and then get a setting for like most of your guests and start from there, like a template. Yeah,
absolutely. So with my regular clients, they all have settings, right? So I've already EQ'd their voice and I know that this is what I'm looking for. Now, sometimes you're going to have to go in and tweak it. And that's a case by case basis. And you'll know, because once you have that relationship and you've heard the voice several times, you know, when something's a little off and you may need to tweak this or that. And sometimes the cable could be bad or just different stupid little technical things can happen. So yes, you can have a setting for each of your clients. Now, let me just say this. You have to decide how deep you want to go into this. If you're a podcaster, do you really want to spend the time on the back end, or do you want to focus on just the front end in terms of the hosting and the being in front of the mic? It can take a lot of time to get the sound that you want. It's an art, man. I mean, for those of us that are really into this, when you ask, does it take a while to EQ? Well, the answer is, it depends, right? I mean, there are times when you're just in the zone and you hear the voice and you make the cuts that you need to make and you're good. And then there are other times when you just hear something. And as a post-production guy, sometimes we dial in a little too much, right? And we're trying to remove this decibel or frequency And so we can get really granular with it sometimes and maybe go a little too far. But when you're really involved in what you do, who doesn't go through times like that, right? You just dial in, right? So sometimes we have to pull back and just step away from it because it can get a little bit much. But I love it. I enjoy it.
So EQ instead, I thought you were going to say for EQ, it's something that my team always does, is just like making sure that the guest isn't way louder than the host or vice versa. And so they equalize the volume so that it doesn't go me talking and then you talking and one of us hurts your ear and the other one you're like turning up the volume, you know? Right. And so that's what I thought you would say. So is that part of it or not?
The volume is different. When you're equalizing, what you are manipulating are frequencies. Okay. And I'll just sort of leave it at that without going too deep into it. But the frequencies of the audio or the voice that you hear, right? You may need to, like I said, cut out some of the highs, cut out some of the lows, the mids, the mid range. But that's where you're focusing on the frequencies to get the manipulating the frequencies to get the sound that you want. Now, when you have a person who's dynamic, as an example, you know, I could start talking like this and then I get really excited and, oh, but wait a minute. No, yeah, here. But then, oh, wow, this was super magnificent, right? So someone who's like that, who goes up and down in their tone and how they speak, is a dynamic speaker. And so compression can help to level that out a little bit so that you don't have that wide range of highs and lows. And the person who's listening to your podcast in the car or in their phone has to keep adjusting their volume. That's not what you want. Compression is going to help you to bring up the lows and then bring down the highs so that it's not as dynamic. But the effect is that it sounds louder.
Okay. So compression, how do you do it? Like, how do you go about doing what you just said?
So with compression, there's several plugins that I have to help me with the compression so that, like I said, the highs and the lows are squashed so that they're not as dynamic. And it's just merely using the tools, adjusting the levels as needed so that it sounds good, is the simplest way to put it.
Yeah. Very interesting. So if your eyes are glazed over, you're like, that was horrible. Don't worry. You can just hire someone like Michael. He'll do it for you. And he loves it for some reason. If you're not looking, but he's got this giant smile. And because we're talking about compression, that's what we're talking about. And he's like giddy.
Yeah. Yes.
So good deal. What other things, Michael, Jerry, two first names, love it. What other things? I guess here's where I really want to take this. I'm looking at common mistakes lots of people make, and I'm looking for best practices. If you don't mind ending today's episode with just diving into a few common mistakes you hear lots of people making that can be fixed, maybe even easily, and then a couple of best practices.
Yeah, sure. Number one, like I'm going to probably reiterate some things that I've already expressed, but common mistakes, thinking where you're recording doesn't matter. It does. Think about the type of show that you want your audience to hear. If it doesn't involve outside nature, then don't record in an environment where there's a lot of outside nature. I've had a person in chat ask how to remove basically all the sounds of the birds and dogs, and he recorded this interview in a park. I'm thinking, don't record the interview in a park. Go somewhere else. Look, go to a library. I've done that. Some libraries have ISO booths. So environment matters. Microphones matter. And you don't have to spend a lot of money on microphones. You can get decent microphones for what you want, so that you're not picking up a lot of the noise that you don't want. You know, like we talked about, the chairs, maybe you're kicking your desk or something like that. So those are really the two biggest mistakes that I hear a lot from different podcasts. and choose your platform. For some things, when I say choose your platform, I'm talking about your medium. Like Zoom is great for a lot of interview style recordings, but when you want to take your audio level to the next level, then you have to get off of Zoom and start recording on different platforms like a Squadcast or a Riverside, which don't record in compressed MP4 files. Now, again, it's kind of nerding out here, but when you go from compressed to WAV files, that's going to give your post-production team, your podcast engineer, more detail to work with, and they can do a much better job of enhancing the audio. So if you think of it like this, like we're all familiar with pixels, right? When it comes to cameras. So the more pixels, the better, the more detail you can see, the less pixels, more blurry it is, right? Better the resolution. Well, compressed files that you get from Zoom are very low res, low pixelation. When you go to Riverside and Squadcast, now we're getting into the high res where there's a lot more detail and you can capture more of the nuances and details of the voice and draw out what you really want as opposed to the overly compressed files from Zoom. So again, it depends on the type of audio that you're satisfied with for your audience in terms of whether or not you use like Zoom or Riverside or one of those type of platforms. Those are the three biggest things that I feel make a big difference in terms of your podcast sounding as good or better than the next person's. If you think about those three things, where you're recording, the mic you use, and how you're recording, then that will really set the stage for what your audience hears.
Awesome. Awesome. So I should go back in history. And when I said Treat the Room was number one, Dynamic Mic was number two, and RX8 was number three, we'll switch that and make number three being the recording platform like Zoom or Squadcast or Riverside. And we'll make sure all those links are also in the show notes, but that should be number three. You mentioned how Zoom ends up being like very few pixels, very low quality and less to work with than if you were to use Squadcast or Riverside. That's why we've linked those up. So if you're listening and you want to delve into and understand these other platforms, most of us know what Zoom is. It became one of the most common popular things in the world back in, what was it, when you started your company around that time, April of 2020. So go check out what Squadcast is, Riverside is, and actually we have a third one that does the same thing. So if I can get my team to put all three links in there, they will all be there. Yeah, Zencastr, you got it. And then number four would be RX8. So after you've done all those other things, you're not recording in a park, you're using the right microphone, and you're using the right software to record it on, the right platform, then we want to make sure that we can use that RX8 for like some of those chair noises or random phone calls that we didn't anticipate. Good stuff. A lot of value, a lot of cool things. And how does the listener find you and get a hold of you?
The best way to reach me is michael@mighty5audio.com. And that's MITI, the number 5audio.com.
All of that will be in the show notes. So you don't even have to memorize if it's a number 5 or a spelled out 5. Just scroll down and click. Michael, thanks for jumping on the podcast today and pouring into me and my listener, and kind of helping us to know some more better practices and mistakes that people have made. And you never know, I might switch from Zoom to one of these other platforms. I was actually talking to the owner of Squadcast because they were at the event where you and I were at. Mm-hmm, yeah. And he's like trying to talk me into using his and telling me, you know, in his own words, he wasn't as ruthless as I'm sharing now, but he was just telling me how terrible Zoom is and how good, you know, Squadcast is. And he's like, why do you use that? And I said, you know what? Here's my cell phone number. As soon as you make this integrate with my calendar, so it propagates a brand new Squadcast link every single time, and I don't have to think about it, and not more people are going to be jumping on, and I don't have to use my personal link every time. It'll just spit out a unique link, and it'll be connected with my Calendly and my Google Calendar. When you do that, I'll go for the better sound. But right now I'm using Zoom. And he's like, we're trying to get there, and I'll try to get there. And when we do, I'll call you. And I said, I'm serious. Like, the money doesn't change. It's always going to be about the same amount of money. I'd way rather use something that has great sound quality. But right now I care about convenience. I'll do 8 interviews today. And I don't want to have to spend time like giving everybody a different link or making sure they all have, like, after the fact, I have my assistant go. That's just too much work. Yeah. Zoom is easier.
So. It is. And that's, in my opinion, that's the one hook that they've got in everybody.
Right? I don't understand why the others don't do it.
Platform to use. Yeah. Yeah. I don't either, man.
What's the deal? Every time someone says it, I'm like, look, I'm sold. Just fix this one thing. And I'm going over there tomorrow. Just tell me it's done. It takes me less than a day to move over. Michael Jerry, you will see the link to his company down in the show notes, his email down in the show notes. And so just scroll down, connect with him, get your audio quality at the best level that it can be. And if you're ever looking to grow your show, grow your podcast, get some consultation, because Michael and I offer different things. If you're looking for more consultation, show growth, reach out to us here at Grow Your Show. It's growyourshow.com. Thanks, Michael.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you, Adam.
Bye for now. You know, I really don't say this nearly enough. I don't mention this, and I feel horrible because it's a great resource for you to be able to take your podcast to the next level. And it's simply a free resource that I don't need your email or anything. It's just a podcasting course that I created that is ended up putting in the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely going to want to just check out those first 6 episodes, see how they can help you improve your podcast, get in front of more people, and have a better result where you're making more money through the podcast, etc. So much can happen after you listen through episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you haven't done it, go do it now. And by the way, if you're subscribed, you'll keep hearing more great content. So to those of you who are, I'll see you on the next episode.